You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Not one scene of Star Wars did I watch this weekend. And no, it wasn't because I was sitting around watching baseball, though I did, in fact, watch some baseball. I listened to a lot more baseball. It's just that the weekend was so busy of everything except for unpacking. Oh my gosh. I've had the same, we'll call it 15 boxes that are still piled up in the same places where they've been since I last unpacked anything. Gosh, these last 15 boxes, they're doozies. They're going to take another couple months, I think. But it was a busy weekend of all kinds of other errands and cooking and baking and a short trip to the beach and some yard work and some time with friends. Oh, a bike ride on Friday. That was really nice. It was a really pretty evening on Friday. And so a lot of fun to go out and ride the bike and talk to neighbors who are out watering or walking or running themselves. So yeah, it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend full of activity and accomplishment and checking items off the to-do list. But it was not a weekend full of Star Wars, which is unfortunate because I do love those Star Wars weekends on TNT. Nope, didn't see even a scene. I could recite many of those scenes for you, though, if you like. I could do my own Star Wars recreation and recreation, but I will not because that would not be good radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So Major League Baseball is off and running. Every team has played its three games. Three games out of 60. That's so odd. But want a nerd alert about these three games, this start to the 2020 campaign? For the first time since 1954, no team in Major League Baseball has started 3-0. Nerd alert! There were 15 three-game series over the weekend, of course, because there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. And someone really smart or someone who has a really snazzy calculator did the math. The odds of no club starting 3-0 or 0-3. So neither one of those do we have. After the first weekend of baseball, we do not have a 3-0 team. We do not have an 0-3 team. Not even you, Orioles. In fact, the Orioles took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. But the odds of no club starting 3-0 or 0-3 after the first three-game series, barely over 1%. That's pretty cool, huh? 2020, all kinds of history we don't want, but some other history that's just interesting. Nerdy and interesting. No MLB teams open the season 3-0, but no MLB teams open the season 0-3.
We did take that for data.
We did have some major fireworks, though, all over the place. We let you hear Kevin Kiermaier's walk-off hit for the Tampa Bay Rays. How about, well, it didn't require a walk-off for the Twins against the White Sox, but what it did require was a whole lot of chasing down those baseballs in the empty stands. You know, I wonder what happens to them now. Who is it, the security guys who are going and picking up the baseballs? Because there are no fans to chase these home run balls that end up in the seats.
Yeah, the 1-0 pitch, a swing and a fly ball into left field deep. Jimenez back, track at the wall. It's gone. Grants, no. I think that's a grand slam as Jimenez hit the ground and he does not have the ball. That's a grand slam for Jake Cave to left. And the Twins take a 4-0 lead. 2-0 pitch is lined to right near the line. That's going to be a fair ball and should clear him. One run is in, Here comes Donaldson heading home. Polanco racing around third. He will try and score, and he will, on a bases-clearing double from Nelson Cruz. It is a 7-0 Twins lead. And the pitch, a swing and a rocket to left, deep down the line towards the corner. Back and gone! Nelson Cruz just owns the White Sox as a Twin. He has 4 hits today, 2 home runs. He has knocked in 7 runs against the White Sox today, and the Twins have a 13-2 lead.
They would wrap up that victory 14-2, and what a day for Nelson Cruz. 4 of 5 with 4 runs scored, and as you hear on the Twins Radio Network, 7 RBI. His batting average is currently 538. And it's kind of cool to see a veteran like Nelson, who's been through a lot as a Major League Baseball player. It's cool to see him have these kinds of games. And then you remember the fact that he's 40. And he just had a 7 RBI game. And then think about the number of guys who are not only looking up to him, but are counting on him for advice, like third-year outfielder Jake Cave.
I like picking Nelson's brain. You know, he's obviously super talented, but he works really hard at it. And I like to hear what he's thinking about and that kind of thing. Hopefully I can use the same type of approach and stuff he teaches us guys.
Kenta Maeda only had to throw 84 pitches over 5 innings to get that win, because that is the kind of Sunday support that every pitcher dreams of. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Twins not the only team that were teeing off on their opponent.
Here's the 1-2. Swung on, high fly ball to deep right field. This has a chance. Way back, home run, Jose Ramirez.
Whoa, that was loud.
Indians first home run of the season. Ramirez with a drive to deep left. Down the line it goes, and this ball is gone, a home run. Jose Ramirez has homered from each side of the plate in back-to-back at-bats. Now the 1-2. Swing and a miss. He got Gordon. Ball got away. Leon picks it up, flips to first. And Carlos Carrasco's day is probably over. But what a day it was. He strikes out the side here in the Royals' 6th. And Carlos Carrasco in 6 innings today struck out 10 as the Indians' dominant starting pitching just continues to shine.
Not only did Carlos Carrasco get the run support, but for the first time since he was diagnosed with leukemia, he got back on the mound as a starter. Now, we saw Carrasco with the Indians late last season as a reliever, and it was amazing. After he returned to Major League Baseball and he was able to get out there and throw the baseball, it was really inspirational even then. But now think about the fact that he has started and come full circle in beating cancer. It's been more than a year since he was diagnosed. He strikes out 10 over his 6-plus innings. Gets a couple of home runs from Jose Ramirez in support. And I choose to believe that the Indians were inspired by seeing him walk out there on the mound to start this game.
My last start was on May 30, so I just wait for this moment. Was today. And I feel pretty good, man. Keeping my emotion down, I just think about the way I got a pitch. I was the key today, because just getting here this morning to the stadium, I was so happy, you know, to get him back to the rotation.
Just getting here this morning to the stadium, was so happy to get back to the rotation. It was early June of 2019 when he was diagnosed with leukemia. Certainly a fight that threatened his life, but he had the support, and you remember, had the support of so many, not just in Cleveland, in the baseball community, among the fans, but all around the game. Remember the moments at the All-Star game where all the signs were being held up for Cookie, which is his nickname. I stand for Cookie. That was the moment, or that's really the hallmark of last year's All-Star game. It's what I will remember, as he was out there on the field and these signs are being held up all over the place. And he later did return But this was back to the starting rotation and a win. A memorable win. So as I said about Daniel Bard earlier in the show, 2020 will mark a major achievement, an accomplishment, a dream come true, a euphoric moment, a moment he'll never forget. It'll be the same for Carlos Carrasco. As bad as this year has been, and as much as we have to complain about, there is still life and there is hope and there are dreams coming true all over the place, not just in sports, but all over the place. I have a chance to own a home for the first time, and I don't know if that would be the case if I had made the offer on my house even a week later. In fact, the house might not have been available a week later because it was an older couple who were definitely high risk for COVID-19. And when they left town, they left for months and didn't come back. No wonder the house was in such disrepair. But anyway, they may not have put the house on the market if it had been a week later when all of a sudden the virus was the number one fear and number one story in the United States of America. So yeah, there's a lot of positives about 2020 as well, but sometimes it's easier to focus on the negative, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There definitely are some negatives from this first weekend of Major League Baseball. How about Corey Kluber, a former Cleveland ace who got traded in the offseason, is pulled from the Rangers rotation, or from the Rangers start, I should say, but he only lasts 18 pitches and is pulled right away. This is a guy who, of course, has missed some significant time recently because he got hit by a line drive and had to miss some time. And so he gets traded to the Rangers. He didn't make the opening day start, but he was out there on Sunday. And 18 pitches later, he's walking off the mound.
Everything was fine. He just had, you know, a little tightness behind his shoulder. That's all. So we got him out of there as soon as he felt not normal.
Chris Woodward, the Texas Rangers manager on Fox Sports. But man, talk about frustrating. Making his first start for the Rangers only lasts the one inning, the 18 pitches, because of tightness with his shoulder. I mean, you think about the number of innings this guy has pitched. And the Rangers were hoping that he could be their workhorse. He's got two AL Cy Young Awards. But right off the bat, there were first couple of pitches where he said he could feel that tightness and that it only got worse. And he will be examined by a team doctor on Monday. Let's hope it's some good news. But certainly these are some, I would say, some scary times now for the Rangers. They opened the new ballpark and they had high hopes for Kluber.
He is a tough guy. He's compiled a bunch of innings in his career, so that's why we were concerned. You know, like I said, anytime somebody says something as a pitcher related to arm or body, you know, we're going to obviously take it serious. So, like I said, hopefully tomorrow he comes in and feels a little bit better, but we'll see.
So these are the types of innings that I'm talking about. He was a 20-game winner in 2018, and this is after he won the Cy Young a couple of times before that, so a 20-game winner. Threw at least 203 innings for this five-year stretch. Every single year, at least 200 innings. We're talking about 1,000 innings over a five-year stretch. And it worked. Couple of Cy Youngs, a 20-game winner. It made him one of baseball's best pitchers. But he has tried to get back to that form and had the broken arm and then had an oblique injury last summer and now this. And let's hope it's not extremely serious. But as you hear with Chris Woodward, the manager, they're going to wait and see. And hope for the best. Gosh, it's not even a week into the season. And we've got this injury as well as Justin Verlander, which is another scary one, though be careful what you believe. Houston Chronicle citing a pair of sources saying Verlander is out for the season. but manager Dusty Baker, he's not going to go that far.
He wanted to go some more. You know, he was throwing the ball well. It was just came over and he said, hey, man, my arm's a little tender, and that's when we took him out.
I do not believe in karma, so don't at me about your karma. But certainly, when you consider Verlander's age, and like Kluber, I mean, he's actually older than Kluber, but like Kluber, the number of innings that he has on that arm. Strained forearm is what they're calling it officially. But there are a couple of different media reports out there that it's an elbow injury. Now, I've heard some around Major League Baseball say strained forearm or forearm strain, however they phrase it, is actually code for an elbow injury because, of course, the things are connected. The things, the tendons, the ligaments, they're connected. The forearm's pretty darn close to the elbow. If you know your anatomy. If you don't, I just told you. But Verlander takes to Twitter and denies it. The report that I'm currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. There is a forearm strain. I'm hopeful that with some rest, it will heal and I'll be able to return soon. But again, you've got multiple reports out there indicating that forearm strain is just what they're calling it. This is an elbow injury. If he's out for a couple of weeks and they get him back, great. Not only are the Astros set up to withstand an injury like this, even though they did lose Gerrit Cole, but they've got a wide array of offense and bats that can hurt you. But also, if you consider the expanded playoffs, and we talked about this a little bit to wrap up last week, more than half the teams in baseball make the playoffs this year. So you've got the first place teams, the second place teams, and then two more teams in each league with the best record. So theoretically, you could have three teams, as we've had in the past, but even under this new format, you could have three teams or even four teams coming from the same division. It all depends on record for those two wild cards. First place teams, second place teams, automatically in. And so it's a little bit scary to lose a pitcher or any player when you have only a 60-game season. At the same time, if you're a team like the Astros, and you could say the same thing about the Yankees, you could say the same thing about the Dodgers. If you lose a player like that for a couple of weeks, you likely can withstand whatever drop in production for the pitching rotation. Still, though, to hear out for the season from multiple sources, that's scary. And it would suck. I mean, he's coming off his second Cy Young. Obviously has been so critical for the Astros and their success going back to when they acquired him before their World Series. I guess that would be quite a debate, right? What played a greater role in the Astros winning the World Series? The Justin Verlander trade or the banging on the trash cans? All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I hope you enjoyed the return of the boys of summer. And you can find not just the poll for the football that we've been talking about, Jamal Adams, Jalen Ramsey, Minkah Fitzpatrick, but also some other fun stuff on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page too. We've got photos. We're a full service operation.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Sports are so like that, right? Well, they're really a microcosm of real life. One day you're on top of the world. The next day you could be in the pit, but you never stay that way. That's what's constant about life, is it's always changing. And for Justin Verlander, he wins the Cy Young in 2019. He has another no-hitter, the final call with Robert Ford on the Astros radio network. That was September of last year. And now here we are. And remember, he was already injured to start, well, what would have been the start of the 2020 season. And the Astros were confident that the time off, even though they didn't mandate it and didn't want it, the time off over the springtime and the early summer was enough to get him healthy and back on track. But now, because of a forearm strain or an elbow injury, depending on which reports you believe, you could take it straight from Justin himself. He says it's a forearm strain, that he's not out the rest of the season, at least not yet. That's not a determination that can be made at this point. He says, I'm hopeful with some rest that it will heal. But there are multiple reports out there indicating the Astros already know this is a season-ending injury. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know that you necessarily miss him as much during the regular season, though, of course, coupled with the loss of Gerrit Cole. That's a 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation. But you definitely miss him, his bulldog mentality, his experience. The fact that he can typically go deep into games, you miss that. And I know in the playoffs, his record doesn't show it, but I would still take Justin Verlander on the mound in the postseason, even though there have been times, and even recently with the Astros, where people have speculated about his best days being behind him, except, hello, Cy Young, no hitter in 2019. Let's just be honest. The Nationals were going to win that World Series, regardless. But at least the Astros got there. Again, don't at me with your karma. I see what you're thinking. I see what you're feeling. But it's not all Justin Verlander's fault. So would the karma just be landing on him because he's a member of the Astros? Too bad, so sad. I would expect you to have a little empathy for a pitcher late in his career who potentially could be out for a long stretch. Maybe just have a little empathy or sympathy if you can't muster empathy. Happened Friday. This was through 6 innings pitched. He had 7 strikeouts, couple of runs, and Dusty Baker indicated that Justin wanted to continue pitching. He did. But that they felt like it was better to not send him back out there and to figure out what the heck is going on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One thing I noticed as I was watching more baseball over the weekend and listening to different broadcasts on radio, as satellite radio, so I can listen to any home broadcast that I want. Actually, it doesn't even have to be a home broadcast. I can listen to any of the local play-by-play that I like. I almost got to the point where I didn't even hear the fake crowd noise. It just becomes part of the background. On Sunday, I had to stop and listen for it because I wasn't sure it was still there. So it's there. It's like the birds that I wasn't hearing when I was walking the dog on Saturday, and yet this little boy in my neighborhood was so upset about how loud the birds were. I didn't even hear them. So I think it just kind of blends together. It's being piped through the PA system, which means in some ballparks you can hear it more loudly and more prominently than in others. But there are some places where you can't really hear it at all. Over the broadcast itself, right? So you can hear it in the stadium. Again, it's being piped in through the PA. So the players can hear it too. But over the radio and TV broadcast, it kind of varies how loud it is behind the announcers. Something else I discovered, Dave. Maybe this is a Fox Sports thing. The first MLS games I watched when they returned to their MLS is Back tournament, it was eerily quiet. There was no crowd noise being pumped in. It was just the coaches or the managers. It was just the players. It was the whistles. But you could hear every little thing that was being said. I turned on an MLS game this weekend. They're also now piping in crowd noise. You can hear the pseudo whistles from the fans. You can hear that din as though there are fans there. And when there's a goal scored, there's this fake, like what you might get at a soccer game. So they apparently have caved, or maybe it's just the network they were on. I think it was on FS1 when I flipped over on Sunday. I wonder, though, if they were comparing early broadcast to what baseball was doing and deciding we're going to be sellouts as well.
Might be what it is, because I actually turned on the MLS for the first time on Saturday night. We were just hanging out, watched a little bit of the New England game, and yeah, noticed a couple sounds here and there, and I can't get on board. It's not for me.
So it didn't fade into the background for you?
Eventually. If you watch long enough, I think it just does. Maybe that's just me personally. But I noticed it at first.
Yeah, so that was the deal for me, is because when I first watched MLS, there was no crowd noise. It seemed really noticeable when I turned it on Sunday. But with baseball, the more I watched and the more I listened, the less I seemed to notice. And again, because it's being piped in through the stadium's PA, on some broadcasts you hear it more loudly, and on some you really don't hear it much at all. So even as we go through some of our highlights, in some cases you hear it, in other cases it's still dead quiet. Most of those, by the way, are the ones where the guys, the announcers, are either the road announcers or they're not with the team. So then it's a lot more quiet, unless they choose to pipe in their own crowd noise.
That's true. Or you get the massive explosions from the Indians highlights.
Oh, so great.
You almost fell out of your chair.
Wait, can we play that really quick before we go into our update? This scared the crap out of me. When I heard it the first couple of times, this is from the Indians game, and it's their radio network. The fireworks, I mean, I jumped out of my chair the first time I heard this.
Here's the 1-2. Swung on, high fly ball to deep right field. This has a chance. Way back, home run, Jose Ramirez.
Ah!
Indians first home run of the season.
Ramirez with a drive to deep left. Down the line it goes, and this ball is gone, a home run.
Ah!
Jose Ramirez has homered from each side of the plate. In back-to-back at bats.
Now the 1-2.
Swing and a miss. He got Gordon.
So
ball
funny.
Got away. Leon picks it up.
I do enjoy the play-by-play, but man, I was not prepared for those fireworks. They were a little bit too close for comfort.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The recognizable voice of one Justin Verlander. Going back to before the world came to an end, or the world as we know it came to an end, when he was sort of apologizing, at least doing a mea culpa for not standing up, for not speaking out when the Astros were banging on trash cans and sharing stolen signs. And he was contrite. And remember, this is a guy who his entire career has been outspoken about cheating. His entire career. But what have we heard so many times this spring? And I don't necessarily believe that it's a one-size-fits-all stipulation and that it applies in every case. But how many times this spring have we heard something about silence equaling complicit, you being complicit, or silence? If you're not speaking up, that means you are going along with what's happening. Again, I don't think it fits in every case. I don't think that's a fair stipulation. But I've had it said to me on social media. Why aren't you speaking up? Why aren't you using your Twitter to talk about this political topic or this social injustice? And I'm not going to... I don't need to defend my use of Twitter. I'm not going to. But my point is just that how often have we heard silence equals support? Silence equals agreement. Your silence speaks volumes. What happened to silence is golden? I guess that doesn't apply in 2020. Not anymore. Anyway, got to tell you, Justin Verlander, I didn't like your reason, your explanation, your excuse either, but I don't believe in karma. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. You can watch Course Record with Michael Breed. It starts this morning, for those of you who are on the East Coast, 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. So it could be part of your breakfast in that CBS Sports Network. You can take our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, our high-profile safety poll. You consider just the last two seasons, the three safeties who have changed teams in big-time trades, major headline-grabbing moves. Jamal Adams is only the most recent, and he's not even the only one who's gone for two first-round draft picks. Nah. He's not even the only one in the NFC West who's gone for two first-round draft picks. Jamal Adams now with the Seahawks, but it was the Rams who traded for Jalen Ramsey. A disgruntled, outspoken, upset, willing to share it with the world, Jalen Ramsey. They have a lot in common. So Jamal and Jalen are now in the NFC West. Minkah Fitzpatrick, he was the one that Mike Tomlin traded for. It was week two, right? Almost immediately on the heels of them losing Ben Roethlisberger for the rest of the season. He was out. And then what is Mike Tomlin doing making this move? Trading a first round pick, among other things. And all three of these are safeties who've moved recently. And I'm wondering now, is that the going rate? At least one first-round draft pick? If not two? So take our poll. Which of those three safeties would you most want on your favorite team's roster? They're all stars. They're different. They're all stars. Fitzpatrick made an immediate impact with the Steelers. In fact, they nearly got to the playoffs on the strength of their defense. Jalen Ramsey, yes, an impact guy. Jamal Adams certainly can be. Does it scare you away that those last two guys are more want to express themselves publicly, even if it means criticizing their coaches and the organizations? So again, on Twitter or on our Facebook page, a lot of you are weighing in there. Excuse me. I don't know why I have the hiccups. It seems like I always have the hiccups when I'm on the show. I never have the hiccups any other time. So, you know, like I'm a 7-year-old girl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The NFL has come to an agreement with the NFLPA about the health and safety protocols, about the financial adjustments that need to be made so that they can get the 2020 season on the field. And maybe, this is the point that Jonathan Jones was making about the Jamal Adams move on CBS Sports HQ, maybe that's all Seattle was waiting for, was just to know they were going to come to an agreement and they were, in fact, going to move forward on the season. I don't know that there should have been any doubt at all. If you know the NFL, you know what these owners are capable of. You know the kind of money they're willing to throw at any and every problem. I had no doubt that they would come to an agreement. They did. We'll call it a Friday news dump. There was an NFLPA vote, 29-3. And so they went ahead, they ratified the proposed changes, which again, were financial and were necessary because of all the uncertainty this season. So veteran players, most of them, are scheduled to arrive at camp on Tuesday. Across the board, remember, there's no more Hall of Fame game. That's been canceled. So uniformly, all the veterans are set to arrive on July 28th. They have to jump through a couple of hoops before they can have access to the facilities, before they can get in and start working. For most of them, they have to pass two negative coronavirus tests. Two. They have to have two negative tests. That's what's been recommended to prevent there being false test results that are misleading. But that's essentially what all of the sports have adopted. You can't be, now there's no bubble here, but you can't be part of the pod. You can't be working out with your teammates until you've passed two negative tests. It is the standard whether you're coming in for the first time or whether you've left and you're coming back. But they also had to work out other various line items, like the number of guys that they can have on practice squads, when they have to get the rosters trimmed down to 80 players, the conditions for high risk and voluntary opt-outs. And we did see at least one player opt out over the weekend. The fact that there's no preseason. What happens if the season itself is canceled? So there are all of these various what-ifs, these contingency plans. They're changing the salary cap. I mean, all this stuff had to be dealt with, and they had to agree to it. The two sides, the owners and the union, had to agree to it before they could go full speed ahead with training camps. But they did that. They did that on Friday. And then on Sunday, there was a memo sent by the union to all of its agents. All right. So the NFLPA also certifies the player agents who, of course, rep the athletes. And this I thought was really interesting. It was one of the headlines. If an NFL player is out going to a party, going to a concert, getting together even at church where there's more than 25% capacity, there's a whole list of activities that are considered high risk by the NFL and the NFLPA. They've agreed to them. If a player contracts the virus by doing one of these things, these high risk activities, he is at risk of not getting paid and could face team discipline. And so the NFL is putting its money where its mouth is. We are determined to move forward with this 2020 season. It's going to require your cooperation, excuse me. Like it or not, you're signed to a contract. If you do not opt out, if you say, I'm going to play this season, then you have personal responsibility. You can't go out and do what you want on your own time. That's the case for Major League Baseball. It's not been outlined quite the same way. But in the NFL, threatening guys with not getting paid generally works for most of them. Now, I get it. There are a lot of rich guys who just got $65 million in a signing bonus. But that's not the majority of players. The majority of guys, they recognize, if I opt out, if I'm not on a roster, if I put not only myself, but the rest of my team and our season at risk, I'll lose my job and I'll lose my money. And so this type of incentive speaks their language. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Here are some of the activities. An indoor nightclub with more than 15 people. I didn't even know there were any indoor nightclubs open anywhere, but I could be wrong. Maybe in Georgia? I'm trying to think where else there might be indoor nightclubs open. South Dakota. It's not an NFL team there, but I suppose you could get there. Charter a plane. Where else? Arkansas? I mean, there are some places that never really closed down. And so there are places, I suppose, where there are nightclubs. But more than 15 people? I guess you could have a party and just have the 15 of you there. Could you imagine? It's teeny weeny little indoor nightclub with 15 people. How about this? An indoor bar with more than 15 people. Where the heck are you going to find a bar that's open that only has 15 people? Are you kidding? It seems like that's all anybody wants to do right now. The bars have been closed or denied people for so long. That's where people keep getting into trouble. In fact, let's be honest. A good portion of the hot spots were sparked by people going to bars. An indoor bar with more than 15 people, other than to pick up food. Oh, could you imagine? I can hear the argument right now. No way. I wasn't hanging out in the bar. I was just there to pick up food. We're allowed to pick up food. Somehow the virus jumped on me while I was picking up food.
I love scotch.
No, I was just there to get food. Oh, where's your receipt? Ruh-roh. An indoor house party with more than 15 people. Oh, Ezekiel Elliott. You're in trouble. An indoor house party with more than 15 people. An indoor music concert or entertainment event. Does that include a movie theater? With more than 15 people. I guess you just have to pick a bad movie. In the middle of the daytime. A matinee. A professional sporting event with more than 15 people. That's funny. And an indoor religious service attended by more than 25% of the capacity. Wow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.